the course. Okay, of course you need to ask if anyone has any questions from the homework reading, okay, that have arisen from the Bible readings, and then we do a short review before getting into the next lesson. So the last we've seen two lessons so far. First of all, we looked at the person of who Jesus Christ is. Okay, that Jesus is the Son of God, God who came to us in human form. And secondly, we dealt with the fact that Jesus' death on the cross. We see that Christianity is built on three great truths, and we have here the illustration of the stool. And we've dealt with that, the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, okay, God who came to us in human form. And secondly, his death on the cross, that Jesus Christ died for the punishment for our sins. And today we're going to be looking next at the third great truth, and that's Jesus, his resurrection. Okay, Jesus, his resurrection. Okay. First of all, let's just talk about the matter of the resurrection here to begin with. And the resurrection has been called the keystone of Christianity. If you can imagine an archway, okay, made up of stones, and the center stone right at the very top is the keystone. And without that, the arch crumbles. And the matter of the resurrection is an undisputable fact, okay, when you are to examine the evidence. There have been people who have been great opponents towards Christianity and very hostile towards the Christian faith, and they've gone out with the idea that they are going to disprove Christianity, and they try to disprove the resurrection of Christ. Okay, ones such as Josh McDowell, Lee Strobel, going out with the intent to disprove Christianity, and only finding when they looked into something like the resurrection that there was no other explainable way to explain what took place at that time other than the fact that Jesus Christ literally died and literally rose again from the dead. Okay, and people look into different theories like the swoon theory. Did Jesus merely swoon on the cross and didn't actually die and revived in the cool of the tomb, and then it came out and said that he had risen from the dead? Or were the disciples lying? Liars don't make good martyrs. And they looked into all these theories and they just do not stack up, and there's only one reasonable explanation, is that Jesus Christ came alive from the dead. He was seen of people. If the resurrection was not true, okay, then you could dispense with Christianity, but it is very, very powerful, undisputable evidence for the Christian faith. So let's first of all look at the matter of Jesus' resurrection and the fact that it was predicted of the Lord Jesus himself. Okay, so we're dealing with Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection. And why don't we pray before we go any further? Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would preside now over our time, and just bless this study together, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so first of all, that it was predicted. The resurrection of Christ was actually predicted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let's go to the book of Mark in chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verses 32. To 34. Okay, so we start on page 782 here of this Bible. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. All right, so on multiple occasions, the Lord Jesus predicted his own death, burial, and resurrection, that he would come alive again from the dead. He told his disciples that. So it's predicted. Let's also look at the resurrection and the facts. The facts of the resurrection. Okay, let's go to Mark 16. And verses 1 to 8. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here, behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. All right, so there are at least 10 separate occasions on which the Lord Jesus subsequently appeared to his disciples and showed himself alive again, and he invited them to handle him. "Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Okay, so it wasn't that merely the disciples saw ghosts and were out fishing in the night and they saw some ghost and they thought that was the Lord Jesus. But rather, they saw him and they were able to handle him and could see that he was not merely a spirit, but was truly alive again from the dead and had the prints of the nails in his hands and also the wound in his side. Okay, so it wasn't someone else pretending. He had the wounds of Christ when he was with them. He also was able to eat with them. Okay, I had a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and so he was able to eat. He was able to converse with them. At one point, he was seen of over 500 brethren at once. Okay, if there was only one person that saw him, people could say, well, okay, one witness, perhaps that person was making up a story, okay, making up, you know, like someone said they saw the Loch Ness Monster or something like that, telling a lie, okay, but he was seen of over 500 brethren at once. That also dispels with people, the supposed idea that people could have hallucinated, okay, it's because you do not have 500 people all hallucinating at the same time, on the same occasion, in the same way, seeing the same thing. Make sense? All right. So, just undisputable evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he had his physical body, okay, which they were able to handle and see. Right, now let's look at the resurrection and its meaning, or its central theme. Central theme. The question of death and life after death has been something that has haunted people in all ages, and people have had multiple philosophies about what happens after we die. Okay, perhaps about other worlds or places of greater blessing. I think the American Indians thought of the happy hunting grounds, and people have these different ideas about what happens after we die, but also that which is a cause for fear and concern, people knowing what actually happens after I die. I used to work with one guy, he's a young guy in his 20s, and I said, and I asked him, I think, about the matter of dying, if he was afraid of it, and he said, every day. And I said, what aspect, and he said, whether it's just the part of dying, being afraid of death, and he said, no, he said, who I actually am. All right, so the real me about what's going to happen to me after I die. All right, so something fearful, okay? Little poem here, it says, "Death itself is nothing but this we fear. To be we know not what, we know not where." Or should we say a little saying there? All right, so that question of what is going to happen after I die? Is there a life after death? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? What's going to happen to me? And these are questions which are found, okay, in the Word of God. And we can see some things here about what is going to, as far as the resurrection of Christ is concerned. Let's go over to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, verses 39 through to 43, okay, page 855. Okay. Okay, actually, I'll start from verse 38. It says, "Now how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Okay, so Peter here is speaking to Cornelius, okay, who is a non-Christian man. And notice what he's saying. He's saying there in verse 42 that he's commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Okay, so the Lord Jesus commanded some things here to be taught. Okay, so we see some things about what happens with those who die. Okay, first of all, we see that all people will be raised. All people will be raised. Okay, verse 42 refers to quick and dead, or we could say the living and the dead. Okay, so all people will be raised. Okay, now, obviously that we're not speaking about just a general resurrection, okay, being there a first and a second resurrection, okay, but you can get the understanding here that there is a coming judgment where one day people will be resurrected and judged, and obviously people who are saved and who have died will be resurrected and will not face that judgment. So, living and the dead. So there is a judgment day coming, and it's not a judgment that can be escaped. It doesn't matter where people go. If people can get in a spacecraft and head off to, you know, as far as they can in the universe, it doesn't matter, okay? They will one day, unless they have trusted Christ, have to stand before the judgment. Okay, so all people will be raised. All people will be judged. All people will be judged. Okay, Jesus Christ has been appointed to be the judge of the quick and dead. Okay, Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Okay, so that's a sobering thought. Okay, we are not free agents. We all must give account one day on the day of judgment to the God who gave us life. Okay, and when God deals with people, God is not a respecter of persons. Okay, he doesn't say, "Well, because you were rich, you don't have to be judged," or "Because you were someone of high pedigree breeding, okay, you don't have to be judged," or "Because you're someone who was of great personality or great beauty or great looks, that you won't be judged," or "Because you were someone of influence or power," or "Because you were someone who was downtrodden, you know, you won't be judged." God actually is going to judge everyone according to the things that they have done, if they have not trusted Christ as their personal Saviour. We also see that the risen Jesus Christ will be the judge on that day. Okay, Lord Jesus will be the judge. Okay, it says, "He which was ordained of God," Jesus, "he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead." And you think the Lord Jesus will be a perfect judge? Absolutely. He'll give perfect justice. The difference, isn't there, with justice and mercy, okay? Mercy is what we do not deserve. Justice is what we do deserve, okay? And we don't want God to give us justice. We want him to give us mercy, okay? And that is what we find through Jesus Christ. So, the fact that the Lord Jesus is risen and is alive again, and the Bible says that he is going to be the judge, okay? And there is a... And we also see that all people will be divided into two groups. Two groups. Okay, the final judgment is going to be the separating of the two groups. Let's look at the positive side. Okay, Acts 10:43. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Okay, so those who believe on Jesus Christ as their Saviour, accept him as their sin bearer here now in this life, receive forgiveness now and are accepted with Christ and will never ever be thrown into hell and will not have to face this judgment. Okay, so then we also see the negative side, back to Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So those who reject Jesus, okay, will be rejected by Jesus then on the day of judgment. Okay, so there is a, you can either have Jesus Christ as your Saviour or as your judge. Okay, there's a choice there to be made. Okay, so the Lord Jesus spoke in parables about this division between wheat and weeds, sheep and goats, good and worthless fish. Okay, this division is forever. This division is forever. And let's go to 2 Thessalonians 1 and verses 8 to 10, please. Okay, we'll read from verse 7, actually. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Okay, so this division is something that takes place forever. Okay, there's no second chance. You might have heard people say before, when these things are discussed with them, they say, "I'll work it out when I get there." Heard that before? "I'll work it out when I get there. I'll find out when I get there." Yes, but when you find out when you get there, it's too late. There's no negotiation. There's no, "I'm sorry, give me another chance to make the right decision." The decision you make in this life is final. You actually make an eternal decision in this life, okay? Whether to accept or to reject Christ. We can say that, rightly say, that your attitude to Jesus Christ in this life is the same as his attitude to you in the next, okay? If you accept him now, he will accept you. That's the good news. John 11, 26 says, the Lord said, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Okay, so believe in Christ, you'll never die. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Okay, and not perish, we say, means never die. Okay, it doesn't mean we don't die physically, but never experience that eternal death spiritually after we die. Okay, John 3:36 also says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Okay, that's the good news. Okay, that's that is the choice that everyone can make, to believe on Christ as Saviour and have everlasting life. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Okay, so when someone rejects Christ, then it is hell forever and there is no way out. Okay, this is why it is so important that each one of us accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Saviour and Lord whilst we still have a chance. Okay, we're not guaranteed of tomorrow. God places this chance before us, but we never know when that window of opportunity will close. Okay, people say, I'll worry about that when I'm older, when I'm retired and I'm not so busy, or once I've lived my life the way that I want to, but we're not guaranteed of tomorrow. People die as children, people die as teenagers, people die as young adults, and we're not guaranteed that we will grow to an old age to where we can make that decision another time. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So we need to remember that this decision of what we are going to do with Jesus Christ is not something that will always be there. All right, you might think about it in life. There are opportunities come up in life sometimes, don't they? Good opportunities. Okay, and if you don't take that opportunity, you can miss it. Have you ever missed a good opportunity and you think, "I wish I'd taken that opportunity when I had the chance, and now that opportunity isn't going to show up again." Right? And it's the same when we face that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross to bear our punishment that we deserve, that he was buried and that he rose again, came alive again, and we have a decision to make whether we would come to him and say, "Lord Jesus, be merciful. I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned against you. I want your forgiveness. I want your mercy. I want you to be my Saviour and my Lord. I don't want you to be my judge." Okay? And at that point, then God guarantees us, the Lord Jesus guarantees us that if we believe in him, on him as our Savior, that we will never die. Okay, so that's the wonderful good news. So there's a decision to be made, and it is important that we do not put that decision, each one of us do not put that decision off, but individually make that choice. So, we see here now that we have looked at the three great truths of Christianity, okay, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, okay, so both 100% God and 100% man in the same person, okay, the Lord Jesus does not have a beginning or ending, okay, as far as his Godhead is concerned. He obviously took on a human form around 2,000 years ago and is able to be 100% God and 100% man in the same person. Okay, and doing that, he is able to bridge the gap as God and man between a holy God and sinful man. He, as God and perfect man, took the penalty that we deserved, okay, and in his own body, okay, as we see, he did that on the cross, died on the cross for our sins, and then also rose from the dead. And if we trust him by faith as our Lord and Savior, allowing him to take control of our lives, then we receive forgiveness and eternal life. Someone who does not believe these three truths is not a true Christian, okay? Not in the true sense of the word, without believing that. Because sometimes people will believe, you know, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, but they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, okay? That's not a true Christian. Or someone believes that Jesus, you know, perhaps, you know, had some humanity and he did die on the cross, but he didn't rise again. Okay, that's not what a true Christian is either. We must believe all three of those things if we are to be a true Christian. Good. And for homework, okay, is to read Mark chapters 11 to 16, and any passages which are not understood or would like to be discussed can be made a note of. And there is obviously the summary sheet of lesson three to go out as well. Good. That's it. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your resurrection. Pray, help us, Lord, with teaching this aspect of the course in Jesus' name. Amen.